Meltdown, Scandal, Sleaze and the Collapse of Credit Suisse by Duncan Mavin, read by Charles Armstrong. Prologue. Dixit Joshi was eager to get started at Credit Suisse. The new chief financial officer, a humble, well-liked actuary, had begun his career at the Swiss Bank in London and New York in the 1990s. Before moving to the UK's Barclays and then Germany's Deutsche Bank. His return to Swiss banking in October 2022 was a kind of homecoming, and it should have been the pinnacle of his career. But in the years that Joshi had been away, almost two decades, Credit Suisse had endured a turbulent ride, and the bank's Zurich head office had witnessed one senior executive after another hastened out under the cloud of scandal. Joshi was among a raft of new executives that landed in the space of just a few months, with a mission to get the bank back on track. There was a new chairman, Axel Lehmann, and a new chief executive officer, Ulrich Ueli-Körner. The bank also had a new chief risk officer and a new chief legal counsel. The head of the investment banking division was new too, as was almost the entire senior media relations and corporate communications team. This level of change in the executive ranks was rare at any bank, and it reflected the turmoil that had gripped Credit Suisse over the previous couple of years. The new leadership team was going to have to learn how to run the bank, clean it up and turn around its waning fortunes all at the same time. They'd have to quickly restore trust among clients, staff, and the authorities that regulated the global financial system. The urgency of their task persuaded Joshi to begin his new role early. While his family was still in London, he flew to Switzerland in the first week of October, a month or so before he was officially due to start. But he was already too late. The new CFO had barely said hello to his new colleagues when the bank was struck by another crisis, and this time, it was potentially terminal. Some of the executives only learned about the crisis because their kids told them that Credit Suisse was trending online. Suddenly, without warning, the bank was bleeding tens of billions of dollars, and clients were pulling their money out at lightning speed. The trigger was a tweet by an Australian financial journalist which simply said, "Credible source tells me a major international investment bank is on the brink." It didn't even mention Credit Suisse by name. But within a few hours, the internet had decided that Credit Suisse was the bank in trouble. Social media in Asia and around the world amplified the message, panicking clients who were switching their money into other banks at the touch of a button. The Swiss bank, which had stood for more than 160 years and whose offices spanned the globe, found itself the victim of the first ever merciless digital bank run. The novice crew of leaders, including Lehmann, Körner, and Joshi, was perplexed. The technical data they had access to showed that the bank's balance sheet was healthy enough, at least it had been before the Twitter storm. If the money kept flooding out, then it would become a kind of self-fulfilling death spiral. But how could you stop that? As the bank's leaders stalled, customers continued withdrawing their funds, and the sense of panic intensified. Some of the new executives wanted to put out a statement affirming the bank was healthy and that clients' money was safe. Some thought the bank's top executives should go on television or radio to deliver a rebuttal to the digital carnage and restore confidence in the bank. Others felt that they would sound panicked and only make matters worse. Körner and Lehmann were both technocrats, intellectuals, planners and strategizers. They were smart and experienced, though neither was a natural spokesperson. Körner also said he was worried that any statement about the bank's numbers could be a breach of the rules governing ad hoc disclosures. As CFO, Joshi was theoretically next in line, though there was no way the rookie executive could offer a convincing defence of a bank he'd only just joined. Maybe it would have been possible if he'd been with the bank for years, throughout all its recent difficulties, but he barely knew the way around the office. So instead of speaking out, the new leaders at Credit Suisse were silent as the meltdown